But firstly, I was joined here in studio a little earlier by Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, Micheál Martin, and began by asking about what, in his view, the international community is doing to stop the war.
The European Union has lacked unity on this, in the sense that there's historic issues in terms of the relationship with Israel. Some member states are 100% supporting Israel. That is with little nuance in some cases. But quite a majority have come around. Obviously, all support this two-state solution. But quite a majority have come around to putting pressure on. But it seems to me, from observing this, like the US government, if you take the US government, for example, is doing everything it can for the last number of months to get a ceasefire. But Israel is not listening, it seems to me. And Hamas isn't listening either at different stages of the peace negotiations. But there's a real sense that within the Israeli government, there's division, and that Prime Minister Netanyahu doesn't want a ceasefire at this particular stage. One has to ask the question, how many more people have to be killed before Netanyahu is satisfied that enough Hamas people have been killed?
Right, but people listening to this might question whether indeed the US is putting as much pressure as it could do on the Israeli government. It's supplying it with huge amounts of weaponry, explosives that can do huge amounts of damage in populated areas, and it isn't cutting off the supply of those or putting constraints in the way that it's putting constraints, say, on the supply of weapons to Ukraine.
Yeah, the political realities in America have always been a fundamental factor in terms of the US-Israel relationship and how it acts in that regard. But I'm in no doubt, having spoken to officials in the White House and elsewhere, that they want to cease fire. Your point is a valid point in terms of how far are they prepared to go to put pressure on Israel. They've put a lot of pressure on Israel, but I've always been of the view that Israel can be quite oblivious to its own allies and the needs of its own allies in times of war. And this doesn't surprise me. What is quite shocking now, though, is the extremes to which this war is going. I mean, anybody you speak to, and I spoke to Sigurd Kaag in particular, who was a former finance minister in the Netherlands, now the UN coordinator for humanitarian aid into Gaza, said the situation is absolutely catastrophic for the civilian population in Gaza. There can be no justification for this war any longer. It's disproportionate. It's killing too many innocent children, women and men, and it simply has to stop. And Israel is, in my view, very, very, very hardline now in not responding to its own allies, be it US, be it Germany and others, to pull back from this, because not only are they, in my view, recklessly oblivious to the needs of their allies, they're recklessly oblivious to the potential of a further catastrophic escalation of this war with all of the consequences, not just for people in the region, which would be horrific, but for the entire region and also for the wider world.
What about Ireland's obligations now? The International Court of Justice has issued a ruling that Israel's occupation of the lands it has occupied since 1967 in the West Bank and Gaza are illegal. Settlements are illegal. Ireland has had the Occupied Territories Bill before it. The government has said it is not possible to pass this. But would you like to pass a bill with the same intended effect, to effectively ban the sale of goods that are made on illegal settlements on the West Bank in Ireland?
I would, on a personal basis, I would favour that approach. The issue is, and we have to be factual about this, first of all, I would immediately follow that up by saying, let's be clear, there are really difficult realities on the ground that would make that difficult to implement. But parked out for a moment, the fundamental competency for trade is the European Union. Whether we like that or like that is, and broadly speaking, we approve of that because Europe negotiates with Asia, negotiates with the US and so on.
Sure, but goods that are produced in the occupied territories are not produced within the territory of Israel. You now have an ICJ ruling that reflects that. So why are those goods enjoying the protection of the Israel-European Union Association Agreement, which oversees trade in this, when they're not produced in Israel?
That's why we have, at European Union level, asked for a fundamental review of the EU-Israel trading relationship. The ICJ advisory opinion at the last Foreign Affairs Council meeting, I majored significantly on that advisory opinion and said to my colleagues at the European Union meeting that this cannot be business anymore as normal.
Right, but going back to the Irish sphere, what legal advice did Ireland ask for? Did we ask the Attorney General to just describe the factual situation with regard to the law, or did the government ask the Attorney General to explore ways in which an occupied territories bill could be passed?
Two things. In previous governments, when the occupied territories bill came before the Oireachtas, took their advice from successive Attorney Generals who've all been of the opinion that it's not within the legal competence.
Sure, but you get the distinction I'm asking.
I do.
For an Attorney General to describe the law as it stands is very different to a government asking the Attorney General, how could we go about a version of this if we wanted to?
Yeah, and let me come to it. I mean, the current Attorney General has been asked in terms of the Occupied Territories Bill. Last week, I took a memorandum to government covering the entire Middle East situation, but also dealing with the ICJ judgment. And legal advice within my own department is of the view that the ICJ advisory opinion places obligations on Ireland and on member states not to in any shape or form or in any way support the illegal occupation of Palestine. And that does have implications, in my view, for aspects of that trading relationship. I've already taken decisions myself in respect of procurement of any defence equipment from Israel and said we will not do that. This creates a tension now between the ICJ advisory opinion and EU trading policy, in my view.
So is it worth testing that in the European
yes.
Court of Justice?
Well, I think
if there is a tension.
I mean, Sepp Borrell, the High Representative representing foreign policy for the EU, has asked for a legal opinion to be brought back to the FAC, because he has said, and I agree with him, and I had raised this at the FAC, so his response
was... This is the Foreign Affairs Council, where foreign ministers
yeah,
of the European
foreign
Union
ministers
meet.
Yeah. So I raised this very strongly. I said there can be no hiding place now. We can't have two standards for two different areas of the world. But Giuseppe Borrell correctly has said, I need legal opinion here, and we have to face up to this, because this places obligations on the European Union. And even though we didn't get the response that we would have liked from the Commission in respect of the EU-Israel trading relationship, I think things are coming to a head, and I think the ICJ advisory opinion enables this to come to a head. Meanwhile, the Attorney General is assessing both the ICJ advisory opinion and is re-looking at the Occupied Territories Bill as well.
Right. What should all commissioners in the College of Commissioners in the European Union do to advance this, in your view, including Michael McGrath, who is no longer a representative, will no longer be a representative of Ireland. He will be a member of the College of Commissioners. What should he do in order to advance a review of the Israel-EU Association Agreement?
Well, I think the entire College of Commissioners, including Michael McGrath, should have a fundamental re-evaluation of this in the context of international humanitarian law.
Do you think he will?
Well, again, look, I think I've no doubt he will internally, but I mean, that's a matter for the new college. But I would make the point that the last commission was divided as well.
What about Irish airspace? A Belgian NGO found that airplanes carrying 56 tonnes of ammunition passed through Irish airspace destined for Israel, made up of components and detonators, etc. And this was tracked then by the Ditch news site. For anyone who didn't see the story, the Ditch news site tracked the progress of those planes through Irish airspace over the Irish landmass. And it appears the Irish government didn't know about this. I suppose it begs two questions. Why not? And what's Ireland going to do about
it? Like, people flying through our airspace. First of all, there are very established protocols for airline companies to follow.
And what's open to the Irish government?
Well,
what's,
I mean, first of all,
can you do?
I mean, generally speaking, I don't want to preempt the Minister for Transport here, but we can prevent companies from flying through our airspace and prohibit them from so doing. And that's, I mean, there are international laws governing aviation.
Right. But if an investigative news site of limited means and a Belgian NGO of limited means can come upon this information with far less at its disposal than the Irish state, why isn't Ireland guarding its airspace by looking into matters like this? And does it have the capacity to stop people flying through its airspace?
When you say, does it have the capacity?
People can protect their own airspace by having the aircraft, the means to shadow aircraft out of
their
airspace.
That's feasible in the Irish context. And we'd have to have a degree of realism here. There are other ways of dealing with this, but there are limits in terms of airspace, right, in terms of what a state like Ireland can do.
But when the question was put to you in the Dáil about this, the government representative said no, things aren't moving through Irish airspace.
No, what the government said was there have been no applications to fly through Irish airspace with weapons on board. There's a legal framework.
And did you follow up with why
that
question had been asked, what it was based on, and to see whether or not, as I say, if a Belgian NGO can find this out and investigative news website can track it, why is the state not perhaps more curious about what's going on?
The state
is
more curious. The state is engaging proactively with the company.
Tánaiste, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you indeed. Yeah.
Tánaiste and Minister for Foreign Affairs Micheál Martin speaking to me a little before we came on air. Well, I'm joined now by Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Good afternoon to you, Elaine.
Good afternoon, Colin.
We heard the Tánaiste talking about the Occupied Territories Bill, the legal advice that's been looked at there. But if Europe is divided about a way forward, the pressure will come back in Ireland to do something domestically, given the political interest here. Would you expect to see the Occupied Territories Bill and issues relating to Gaza being discussed in the near term in the upcoming Dáil?
Yes, you would definitely expect so. And I think the Tánaiste's comments to you there, Colin, were very interesting, because up until now, the government has said that the Occupied Territories Bill, which was brought forward in 2018 by Senator Francis Black and supported by others, is not legally sound and would breach EU law. And that is the line that successive governments now have held in relation to that Occupied Territories Bill. I think the ICJ advisory, that landmark advisory that came over the summer when the Dáil was on recess, will be used by the opposition in the autumn to raise again the Occupied Territories Bill and push for passage of that bill. So it'll be interesting to both see what the government do in response to that, but also to see what the Attorney General now comes back with in relation to advice and whether that advice does change.
And do you get a sense from what the Tánaiste was saying there that the government has a desire, at least on his part, to try and get ahead of this and come up with something?
I think so. And over the summer, while TDs and senators may not have been in Leinster House, I think their emails will have been filled with campaigns from people who have been sending almost a weekly campaign emails on the issue of Gaza, on Palestine. And I know even when the Taoiseach went to Ukraine, there was a new campaign that was sent in relation to Gaza and trying to put pressure on the government to act on this matter, to force their international counterparts as well to act. But I think the government has been straddling what is a difficult line for them, and especially even for the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, when he does go to those Foreign Affairs Council meetings. I think the Irish line is viewed as probably one of the more radical amongst the EU27, along with the likes of Spain, it has to be said, when it comes to the issue of Palestine. And I think both diplomats and politicians and government have been careful not to isolate our view and to make sure that we're still listened to, that we can push perhaps those who are less willing to act in relation to Israel's actions over the last 11 months.
Yeah, I think in answer to that, the Irish government's stance generally to its counterparts is that it's not that they're radically pro-Palestinian, but they're robustly pro-international human rights law. It's probably a case they have to make quite clearly when meeting with US counterparts, whether or not the St. Patrick's Day meeting will come before or after the general election is one thing, but it's likely to be a conversation that's only going to be harder than the one that was had last year.
Certainly, and if you remember to this March when then Taoiseach Leo Varadkar did go to Washington, he was put under severe pressure by campaign groups here and members of the opposition not to go, to make a big stance and show that Ireland is not in support of the policy that continues from the US administration in relation to Israel, especially in relation to the export of arms to the Israeli government. So we do know that Leo Varadkar did travel, did meet with the president and the vice president. In turn, the American administration made it clear that it still is very much in support of Israel defending itself and believes that Israel does have the right to defend itself and will continue supplying arms to Israel. So really, I think Ireland probably can go over an Irish politicians can go over to the US, but what impact our position has on US policy, I would be very doubtful if it's in any way impactful.
Okay, Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Thanks very much for joining us. We're going to take a break. Still to come later in the programme, we'll be hearing from the father of one of the Israeli hostages held in Gaza. But next, it's the Palestinian ambassador to Ireland.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.